Welcome back, continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and now shifting our focus pretty much exclusively to the metals, probably mostly precious metals complex. We are chatting with Richard Postma, aka Doc. It's been about a month, 2 months since we last had Doc on the show, and Doc, I saw you making some comments on the blog, especially on the back of the precious metals correction. So that's why I wanted to get you back on the show, and more just from a technical standpoint, what are you seeing in the gold silver charts after that pretty major correction that everybody was waiting for, especially in silver? Gold looks a lot stronger and really is not even that far off of its highs. Silver has a wide range here. So what should we be paying attention to in the charts?
I'm paying attention to Corey. I feel that we're still in a major bull market. And for me to say that, that's unusual, because remember in the past, when we would hit a certain point, I would say, I'm getting nervous about it. But on this bull market, I'm not nervous yet. And I think we have a ways to go yet. But I think based on the charts I'm watching, we're probably going to be into a corrective phase, possibly for weeks and months. So I don't think it's going to be like past corrections where we have a 3 to 4 year wait. That I don't think that's going to happen at all, because structurally nothing has changed. And out of Washington, all they're talking about from the comments they make, we're going to have more deficits and more money thrown at a problem. And so that's going to really maintain this market. And I think the economic reset we're going to see, it's not baked into the cake yet. It's going to be ongoing for a few years. And so I don't see anything structurally or fundamentally or technically right now to say that we're done with this move.
All right, Doc. Well, let's dig into that idea a little further, especially on the technical side. You know, we can have a million different opinions on the macro and what the drivers are, but when you look at a chart and you look at pricing, it isolates all that down and encapsulates everything. So we saw such a wild move there where gold got up to 5,600 and then crashed to 4,400. Now it's settled around 5. Silver got up to 121, crashed to 64. Now it's settling in the 80s. You said you expect it to consolidate for weeks or maybe months, but not years. So we're not going to see that big blow off top and then correction that grinds everybody down for the next few years. What makes you feel confident in that on the charts? What technical factors are you looking at? And is this the monthly chart or the weekly chart, just to orientate people?
For the long term, I always look at the monthly charts. And, you know, it's hard at this point to really define what's going to happen in the next few months, because we really peaked at about 5,600. And I think this month we could close once again over the close of last month, but it would really be healthy, and people probably won't like this, but for us to close, have a close below last month's close. And if that happens, then I think it's pretty well that we're going to see a little bit more downside to this market and sideways motion, which, by the way, would be extremely healthy. But I think we're going to see it.
So, Doc, what are the lower levels that we need to watch that you think are, I guess, the best opportunities for either gold or silver to bounce from that may be kind of a further buying opportunity?
I think if we get down to the low 4,000s in gold, I think would be a really good opportunity, or maybe a little bit below that. And for silver, I see the max move down to be down around the mid-50s. I don't see anything lower than that, but the mid-50s, we might not get down there, and hopefully we don't, but that's a possibility. But regardless, at that point, I think it's going to be a tremendous buying opportunity for people to add on these pullbacks. And I've even started doing that already, frankly, when we had that big drop and below 4,500. I bought some of the major producers then, and I'm going to slowly buy even more if we do continue to consolidate here and go lower.
Well, Doc, we definitely want to get in the stocks with you here in just a minute. But just before we leave the technical side of things, you know, you say a pullback in silver to the mid-50s. I think a lot of people will remember that what people thought was a double top at 54, and it tested it twice. And when it finally broke through, Now a lot of people are saying that could be strong support. It's just kind of amazing that for the longest time, $50 was a 45-year resistance level. Now most people think it's going to hover above it. But there is a contingency that also believes what we just saw in silver, really just a couple of weeks ago when it shot up over 100 and got up to 120s, was very similar to 2011 or very similar to 1980. There's other people that think it's different this time. Do you think that this could have been a blow-off top where we're never going to see those levels again? Or what gives you the confidence that if we got to the mid-50s, it wouldn't just keep falling lower into the 40s and 30s?
Well, if we get to the mid-50s in fall, that tells me that we've got a real problem globally with economies. And that speaks to me almost a depressive type of event, because with the amount of supply issues that we have in the silver market, I can't see it falling that far, frankly. And I think that's going to prop it up. Plus, you have both the United States and China declaring essentially silver as a critical mineral. And I believe Trump made a state, or there's also the possibility that in 90 days, legislation is setting a critical floor to the silver price to incentivize mining. So I think we're seeing a complete turnaround from price suppression and the paper market losing its influence to actually support for some of these critical minerals, which silver is one. So from that standpoint alone, I think the silver market's going to be propped up, but we're going to see pressure on it for the next few months, I believe. And I wouldn't surprise me if we get down to the low 60s or upper to mid 50s, actually.
Doc, is this all just so political because when Trump's in office, everyone's more focused on their own domestic supply? Everyone is not so much sharing what they used to. And look, Trump still has 3 more years. So is that a time frame that we should be maybe paying more attention to, is just the presidential term?
Yeah, but I think it'll carry over to the next president, whoever that may be, because once you set something in motion, it's hard to turn it off from a federal standpoint. That's true with any legislation. There are rare sunset laws, to stop all this stuff that they enact. It's harder than heck to get rid of it after they put it into motion. So I think this is going to be an ongoing time for a while, because everybody's going to be hoarding these critical minerals and trying to open up new sources of supply over time. So I think that in itself is going to prop up a lot of these resource stocks going forward. And that's going to include more than actually silver and gold. It's going to be other minerals as well.
Oh, for sure. I think there's 60 metals now on the critical minerals list that was released just at the end of last year. And a lot of people forget a lot of these initiatives were started by the Biden administration. And a lot of the, even for nuclear power, but especially for some of the critical minerals, those are probably going to continue forward. Well, Doc, on the other side, we covered the downside. Let's talk upside. A lot of people still believe that we're going to see. Well, there's some in the camp that think we're going to see a V-shaped recovery, and that we're going to shoot right back up above 5,600 in gold and right back up above 121 in silver. And there are a lot of people looking at the gold silver ratio and believe that if gold can keep going into the 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, that if you got back to a 15-to-1 or a 20-to-1 gold silver ratio, that there's the potential for silver to get up to 300, 400, even $500. What do you make of that from a technical standpoint?
That's a possibility to keep moving here, but I don't think it's likely. The chart I'm really focusing on to tell me what's going on is the silver chart. And we're overbought, but with the RSI, it's actually starting to move down the RSI. And there's a big difference between the momentum indicator, the MACD, between the 12 and the 26 moving average. So I think that's going to have to turn here pretty soon. Plus, the ADX with a strength factor, the red line, which is the bearish line, is moved up with a green line moving down toward it. And if we get another month like that, if the same thing happens, if that red line continues its move higher, that tells me we're going to have maybe 2 to 3 months yet where we have considerable pressure on the silver price. because if we move up again with that red line and the green line moves down, I think they're going to want to oppose within the next 3 months.
Yeah, when you consider just how many months in a row silver and even gold was on a run, and then the spike high that we saw in silver, makes sense that there should be at least a month or two or even three of some sort of red candles in there. We got to remember, even last month, even after that major drop, that was still a green candle. Kind of crazy to think about that. Doc, when it comes to the stocks then, I'm curious, just from a charting standpoint, since you like to look at monthly charts so much, it's hard to ignore the fact that a lot of these stocks from just 2 years ago or a year ago are up 5 times, some 10 times, some even more than that. How do you filter the charts to, in a way, take out that sort of move and value them where they are? Or do you consider that move when you're purchasing some of these?
Well, right now, if we're going to be in a consolidation period, I want to be in the major producers when we come out of it. And that's where I want to be. And so I'm focusing on mainly 4 stocks right now. I purchased a little when we had that big move down. Not a lot, because I believe in the consolidation thing, and we might have to go a little bit lower yet in some of these. But I'm looking at stocks like Coeur d'Alene, Hecla, Silver Corp, Quinox. These are the ones I'm really focused on to add to, because especially with Equinox and their supposed increase in the amount of gold they're going to be taken out of the ground in this year. But these are the kind of stocks I want to be in when we move out of the consolidation phase back into a movement higher. And I might add that when you look at the silver price on the monthly chart, it's rare that you peak as high as we did and then come back and the move is over. Usually you have to have another run at that peak for a double top before you're over in a massive move. And so that's another reason I think we're not over with this.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's not the way most tops form, and it makes sense to try to go back and retest it too. So we'll see if that plays out and how that plays out. But just in response to some of the stocks you're looking at, when you think of something like Equinox, they've really masked up so much through acquisitions that they've become a new senior or a major. They're going to be doing about 1 million ounces of gold equivalent. And same thing with Coeur Mining, because Coeur not only acquired Silvercrest, but they went out and acquired New Gold, and they're now going to have about 1 million ounces in, if you convert it to gold equivalent. So you really have 2 new seniors, 2 new majors. People have been complaining that there's less and less majors. Well, there's 2 that did it through consolidation, but they're going to have pretty strong balance sheets in these kind of metal price environment. Hecla went on that one heck of a move, and then it's one of the oldest miners there are on the publicly traded on the indexes, and it had a screaming move higher. Are you positioning in those, Doc, because you believe when the turn happens that they're the ones that can monetize it first? Is that the thought process?
Exactly. And not only that, but just the fact that, you know, the juniors never lead you out of it usually. And some of these juniors are pulling back already from where they are. But the other thing I want to point out is a couple of years ago or 3 years ago, when I said that these gold mining stocks would recover when they were in the pits, I said it wouldn't be a V-shaped recovery, and it isn't. It's a stair step. That's what we're seeing. And we're seeing it not only in the producers, but we're starting to see that in some of these junior miners. And it's a classic stair step. And I think we have another step higher, and then eventually we're going to have the blow off. But I think that months and years away, maybe 2 or 3 years yet, where we'll see the blow off. But the reason I'm purchasing the miners is, especially the 2 you mentioned, is they have moved into senior status. And I don't think we've seen the move yet in their price that we're going to see.
Okay, Doug, it makes sense. The majors, yes, they rebound the quickest. And in all fairness, they, I don't think, have sold off as much as some of the juniors and even mid-tiers. Let's go to the next level down then. Mid-tiers, either smaller scale producers or companies that are in that development stage, either looking to build a mine or at least at that more de-risk stage. How are you viewing those type of companies?
I try to pick out the companies with the best stories, The two I really like are American gold and silver is one, but I like that particularly for the antimony it has. And that's one of these critical minerals. And that's about the only one or one of the few companies that have a significant antimony position. I like that one for that reason primarily, even though it does have good gold and silver potential. But the other one I like also is Integra. I've liked that for a long time. And I started buying that when nobody liked it. We're getting a pullback right now, and I think we're going to get a little bit more, but I'll be purchasing both of those again as well. And along with the four I mentioned, those are two of my favorites along with that, just for the peculiarity that they have, frankly.
Yeah, Doc, I should probably disclose that I have positions in both America's Gold and Silver and Integra as well. And the thesis that attracts me is the growth aspect of them. When you think about America's Gold and Silver, it's not just the antimony growth, or they're going to start getting paid on copper and gold they haven't been paid on. We just talked to the company earlier this week, and they're also going to be growing their silver production from about 1 million ounces at Galena to about 5 million ounces at Galena through a series of different operations. So they got growth on tap. When you think about Integra, they bought the Florida Canyon mine out of the Argonaut breakup, and that's making them some good money at today's gold prices. But the real prize there is their development projects and what they have on tap to build. And so when you think about Integra, you know, you think about Delamar and you think about Nevada North and how those are going to be their big development projects. So is that what animates you about that level, is the growth, or is there other things that you like technically or other things you like fundamentally?
No, it's primarily the growth and the fact with American Gold and Silver and its antimony position. And those are the two I primarily like from a developmental standpoint. So I've named about six companies I really like, and I'm sure there are more, but those are six that I've really focused on. And with Integra, we're going to get a pullback, I think, down to the upper twos or low threes here, which then I think technically is a good position where I'll start to accumulate and add to my already big position of Integra. That's one of my biggest positions.
Doc, what about stocks outside of the precious metals? Copper stocks, we keep hearing about the opportunity in those. I actually think those haven't run nearly as much as the precious metals, and copper has done quite well. Hasn't gone on that real kind of euphoric move, but it's still stair-stepping, trending higher. I quite like the chart of copper. And then also energy stocks. A lot of people are saying time to rotate some money into energy because of how undervalued it is compared to all the other commodities and metals that have gone on absolute tears.
Yeah, I'm not as into copper as much as I'm into the energy stocks, Corey. I've been trying to accumulate energy stocks. It's kind of depressing to me because some of them have moved already with some of this, with the low oil prices. But so I'm constantly looking at for energy stocks, gas and oil, that haven't moved yet. And I'm investing in one of them right now that hasn't moved particularly that I like, but others have moved. And so I'm really liking energy for the long term. And I try to position myself early on, once again, when nobody is even looking at some sectors. And so I've been trying to purchase, and I even have an oil tanker company that I bought at a nice low that pays a dividend of over 12% currently looking forward. And that's moved up by almost 70%. So I try to diversify a little bit, but I try to find those companies I really like.
Are you comfortable naming either of those as far as the oil? And do you look at things that are more oily or more nat gas focused? Do you like it a lot? A nice mix? Are these U.S. or these Canadian? Can you give us a little more color?
Yeah, one of them, of course, is Baytex Energy. That's one of them. And I purchased that when it was down below $2, and now it's pushing $3.60. And then another one is Crescent Energy, which, you know, made a big purchase recently that we're all aware of. And that's starting to break out, in fact, Crescent is. And in fact, technically, it's just hit a new high. If it closes this week at the level it is, it's taken out the trading range that it has been in. And that looks very positive to me. And another one, that I like and I bought a while back when nobody liked it particularly, and it's kind of a tough name. It's Ultrapar Participaquis in South America. It's UGP. And I purchased it down around $2 to $3, and it's now up to 5.25. And it's got a nice forward yield of almost 10%, which I like. And we'll see what happens. In fact, it's getting close to breaking out of its high way back in 2024. And if it breaks that, I think it's going much higher.
All right, Doc, you've given us a lot to look at there. Always great having you on the show. Thank you for taking time on our website to share some of your thoughts through the comment section. And also, whenever I reach out to you, taking time to share your thoughts on what you're seeing in the charts and all the stocks that you continue to accumulate. Really, the bigger names are sticking out to me, and it sounds like you see them as having the best opportunity. So, a lot for everyone to consider there. And everyone, thanks for tuning in to this weekend show. As always, please go back through our website, kereport.com, or listen to us on your podcast player or on YouTube. Just search The KE Report. That's where you can find all our daily editorials and a lot of our company updates from throughout the week. And as always, we always love hearing from each and every one of you. So feel free to reach out to Shad or I through email and share your thoughts on companies and guests that we have on or ones that you think we should be featuring. So, Doc, again, thanks for your time on this weekend show. And everyone, thanks for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.